Spirits betray us when we hear a new story of exceptional behavior, someone going beyond the call of duty, a total stranger putting life on the line to rescue another. It's because we're right there. It's because we were designed for this. The big story, the big adventure, the work prepared in advance for us to do, as Paul said in Ephesians 6. So we're there. We understand that. And so when we see pictures, or, you know, I don't remember the date of it, but I'm sure most of us will remember just a few years ago when there was the coal mining disaster and those guys were trapped. And it was like the whole country waiting with bated breath for the next man to be rescued. We just kept waiting for them to come out and hoping that nobody would die in the process. And of course, with some of the natural disasters and just lately in Oklahoma, and looking and searching and hoping that no one lost their life in the midst of that tragedy after the tornado. And so we love those stories when people go beyond the call of duty. And, you know, almost the funny reaction of you when following any of the guys that finally helped one of the girls in Cleveland get out of that house after 10 years, nothing was funny about that situation except he actually had no interest in media, he doesn't want to be anybody's hero, and he's just this rough, rude, and crude dude. And stuff that he said when he's being interviewed shocked his interviewer, and she didn't really know what to say. And, you know, but we considered him a hero. So I just saw the paper the other day that he had free hamburgers for life. Because he was eating a Big Mac, and he gave up his Big Mac to go rescue the girl when he heard her screaming. And so anyway, he's just one of the heroes. And, but he prefers to be unsung, but he's probably happy with the lifetime hamburger. So I wanted to just look in Hebrews 11, that faith chapter that they were so familiar with, but I want to look at it just in sections without reading necessarily the whole thing. And then to further confuse things, I want to reach out a message. So different, a little, well, not just a little bit, it's a lot different, but I really like how Eugene Peterson takes this very, very familiar passage and puts it in today's most updated language. So, let's look at heroes this morning. And so number one, our first point there is our heroes, obviously. And the A, what about our heroes? So, first one is faithful. In Hebrews 11, the first couple of verses, Peterson says, you probably won't be able to follow it in your Bible, but you can try it. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors, set them above the crowd. So this idea of faith, and he sets it up, and I really enjoy this, because he says it's the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. And so what sets us apart as followers of Jesus, as Christians, is with faith that regardless of what else happens, we have this foundation. So when it seems like all the world is going berserk, or we're in the proverbial handbasket on the proverbial path, underneath all of that, undergirding, supporting everything else, we still have faith in a God that allows us to have this foundation and it still makes life worthwhile. And so I think many, many generations felt like theirs was the final generation faith. This is these are the end times, that Jesus is coming back, and life could not get any worse. And over history, many, many generations, I'm sure, based on what they were facing in their day, felt like this was going to be the last generation. Jesus had to come back because the world as they knew it was in the process of imploding. And I think many today feel like we're back there again. We're in that time when it just can't get any worse and they're looking for the signs. So Peterson's definition is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. So when we don't understand, when things really get zooey, when things really get too crazy, we have something underneath that stays firm. We don't see it, but we believe it, and we have that as a foundation. But then I love how he finishes this. The act of faith is what distinguishes our ancestors and sets them apart from the crowd. So we have faith, and you know the argument in James, where he says, you know, faith and works. You know, you show me your faith by your works, I'll show you, you know, back and forth, and does this mean this, and no, it's all by faith, and it's by grace, and it's not by works. And Peterson just, I think he finds a great term here. Our faith is the basis, what makes life work, and then the act of faith. So taking our faith that we stand on, and then allowing it to move us forward, the act of faith. If it's a living faith, which is what James would say, there will be works that we do because there's faith, it is alive, and it does things. There will be acts of faith. And so I think that's important for us to look at this morning. And then of course what he does in the next verses from 3 all the way down to 12, he just goes through the list of some of the heroes that they have. Now remember, Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews was written by someone, we're not sure who the author was, but some 30 years after Jesus went back to heaven, the church was growing, and there was incredible opposition for just a few years before Rome destroyed Jerusalem. And so there's a ton of opposition against everyone following Jesus. And so they were Jews to begin with, and now followers of Jesus. Their families had probably rejected them. They'd been kicked out of the synagogues that Jesus promised them they would. And Rome's not very happy with them either. And so they've been dealing with this for 30 years. So they all feel like our generation is the last generation. It's going to get terrible. And especially, I'm sure, in AD 70, when Jerusalem was actually destroyed, people really felt that's it. This is the end. Jesus has to come back now. It can't get any worse. And of course, here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still saying the same thing. So I think there's something in us that just recognizes that things are tough, and we must be in the end times. But in the meantime, the Holy Spirit is extremely busy, and is doing and bringing new life to all of us. And so here we are in 2013, and we can say, well, it's the end times, and to a large degree, I think we're in end times, but how near the end of the end times we are is really debatable. And I think our goal here this morning is to see how important it is to recognize the heroes, both our war heroes as well as our biblical heroes that were mentioned here this morning. So they were faithful. One of the things that made them a hero, made them their stories stand out to us. And you know, it's brilliant what this author does, because these people need to be reminded that other people have gone before them too. And so what he does is he talks about the faith that was their foundation, and then he moves them in and he goes, just remember, you know, they go through Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah. You know, he just kind of throws out these names and just remember the stories. And of course the Hebrews knew these stories, and they're great. They constantly recited their stories, so they would always be fresh. They all knew. All the children would always hear these stories. It was a wonderful thing. We kind of stopped telling stories now and prefer to watch television. But I think the Jewish family spent a lot of their time rehearsing their history and telling these stories so that all the children knew all the stories all the time. And so here's some of the ones here who have proven themselves faithful, and we can read through there, and then reading the stories of each one of these people is a great thing to do as well. Alright, but B, moving on, our heroes were not just faithful, but they were hopeful. They were hopeful. Let's read verses 13 through 16 of Hebrews 11. Again, out of the Message. Each one of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it off in the distance, waved their greeting, and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. People who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back any time they wanted. But they were after a far better country than that, heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. So they're hopeful in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the disappointment, in the midst of the fact that they were old and going to die and not see the full expression of what had been promised. They held on. They maintained the hope that was before them, the hope that was set before them. They saw off in the distance, and they waved their greeting to the future, and they accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. You know, sometimes I think it would be easier for us to deal with life here if we could just remind ourselves we're just transients. We're just passing through, as the song used to say. And, you know, and one of these days we're going to be gone. And, you know, I'll fly away. That's the song. And so, you know, I think we kind of remember that and didn't try to put our roots down here in such a way that, like, as if we were going to be here for eternity. You know, we're going to be gone. And so one of the ways they maintain their faith is to say, when it's all said and done, we don't expect all things on earth to work out for us. And so I'll get neatly wrapped up, and it's going to be a beautiful passage. Because we have something more that we're looking for. We're looking for heaven's country. And so if it doesn't all work out here, if things aren't really beautiful here, well, the one thing we're sure of is that when we finally get home, it will be as Jesus promised. And so that's the heritage that was passed down by these heroes of the faith. They were faithful to what they've been called to, and they had hope for it, even though to their dying breath they never did see. You know, I remember reading the story, especially for Abraham. You know, here's Abraham, he's given this promise and all the different aspects of his life, and you know, Ishmael comes along, and then finally when it's too late to have children, God sends them Isaac and whatever. And he's given this promise that your children, your descendants will be as numerous as the sands of the sea. Great promise, everything like that, but when Abraham dies, he has not yet seen, he doesn't get to see how that's all going to happen. But he had faith. He was considered a friend of God because he had faith. And so the faithfulness and the hopefulness really sets these people apart. So see, what is the other thing? Besides faithful and hopeful, they were valiant. This is what we love about heroes. They're valiant. They stand out and they stay true and they keep on moving. So from verse 32 to verse 40, he says, I could go on, but I've run out of time. There are so many more. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. Through acts of faith, they toppled kingdoms, made justice work, took the promises for themselves. They were protected from lions, fires, and sword thrusts, turned disadvantage to advantage, won battles, routed alien armies. Women received their loved ones back from the dead. There were those who, under torture, refused to give in and go free, preferring something better, resurrection. Others craved abuse and whips and yet chains and dungeons. We have stories of those who were stoned, sawed in two, murdered in cold blood. Stories of vagrants wandering the earth in animal skins, homeless, friendless, powerless. The world didn't deserve them. Making their way as best they could on the cruel edges of the world. Not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were exemplary, got their hands on what was promised. God had a better plan for us, that their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. See, that's great, because that's true for war heroes whose lives ended early in violence. We are now reaping the benefits of what they sacrificed. And so for our heroes of our faith as well, because they hung in there, because they didn't give up, because they didn't just walk away, we have today a church heritage. We have those who hung in there. This group of people, that these Jewish believers of the first century, they were the founders of the church. And the thing with all this is, you know what, this thing is way too difficult. It would be so much easier. We're going to give up this foolishness. We're going to go back. We're going to repent. We're going to rejoin Judaism. And we're going to just say, this was ridiculous. It was a bad idea. You know, have you ever done something that later you go, boy, that was a really bad idea, and we waited a long time, let's just go back and do it right, you know? And so, they could have easily done that, and I think the writer of the Hebrews, who wrote this letter, was inspired by the Holy Spirit to say, these people are members of the house. You're not going to hang in there much longer, because they need major encouragement, because this thing has been going on way too long, and it's going to get worse, and they really need somebody to restore perspective. Do you know how awful it is when our perspective gets messed up? When we forget what it really is all about, what the major deal is? That's when we've lost our perspective, when something bad happens, it's just a free fall. Because we've forgotten what it's all about. And so that's why it's good to go back and say, the faith is a foundation which allows us to be faithful, to be hopeful, and to be valiant when it is really hard. And so he just, in a very summary kind of fashion now, he just runs through all the history of Israel, and he's saying, look at all these people, the ones we celebrate, that we know, that have been huge heroes, whose lives meant nothing to them in the end, because they really wanted what God wanted. And so I think those who are reading this are so inspired, and they're like, yeah, especially when he adds in here, you know, they ain't nothing, vagrants wandering the earth, and he goes, the world didn't deserve them. And so all the Hebrew believers reading this were like, that's right. The world didn't believe these. They were too good. The world didn't deserve these people. They were so wonderful. But then he says, not one of these people, even though their lives of faith were against, where he got their hands on what God has promised. Because he had a better plan for us. Is that humbling? Yeah. Is that humbling that God has a better plan for us? And he's talking to the Hebrews there, but he's still, through the Holy Spirit, talking to us today. What people did not see and did not gain in their lifetime is because God had a better plan for us, for those who are reading today. And it might be that there's some frustration in our things we don't realize in our lives. And it just might be that God is continuing to build on his plan for another generation. So that our faith, coupled with their faith, now becomes complete. So that this ongoing story, God is weaving this story that's century-old now, millennia-old. But there's something that the writers of Hebrews understood that made the heroes of the past a part of the present. And he said, everything they did was essentially for you in your day. Because they didn't face what you're facing. They faced other things, other challenges. But what you're facing today is not unusual and is not unheard of in God's economy. And so this, what they were experiencing here, especially the opposition from Judaism, the high priests, etc., and Rome, was overwhelming to them. And they're just like, we are nothing. We're just little peons here. Why is all this happening to us? And we thought God loved us, and where is God anyway? And we've had nothing but sorrow and trouble and trials and on and on and on. And so this reminder, you know what? This is a story that's been going on a lot longer than you've been alive. Mm-hmm. And God is still building. And he's still doing something. He's still accomplishing something. And this faith, this plan of salvation that has become yours these many years now, hasn't been diminished because of the junk that you've been dealing with. But it's every bit as strong, every bit as sure. God is going to accomplish his purposes. He has a purpose in this. And so we've been called to celebrate a tradition of following Jesus. Now, it's pretty bumpy and messy, and we never get it totally right, and we kind of do detours, and on and on and on. And somehow, God just says, yeah, I know, you're not going to get it quite right, you're going to embarrass me over and over again, but I love you, and I called you, and I really need you to get this right. And so for thousands of years, God has been waiting for the church to get it right. Well, we can't necessarily, we can't really redo, you know, what has already been done, all the damage. And so you know the phrase, you know, we need to give up all hope of having a better pastor. So the church, we need to give up all hope of the church having a better pastor. We did some horrible things. You know, when people say, I don't want anything to do with the church because don't do this, don't do this, we were going to just hang our heads and we were like, you know, that was really embarrassing. And maybe some of the things you did in our lifetime. And maybe we were the perpetrators as well. And so hopefully not, but, you know, that was then. The fresh way of the Holy Spirit, what He's doing in us today and wants to accomplish in us and through us for the rest of our lives, is a fresh story. And so I think there's hope, because the same thing keeps going, and there's new life there, and so He doesn't give up on us. And so we've got heroes who are faithful, hopeful, and valiant. But now number two, here's the big deal as we come close to the end. Number two is our call. Our call to what? To be heroes. To be faithful. To be hopeful. To be valiant. To stand up and make our faith something that we can act on. Not just something we talk about. Not something we just kind of vaguely remember on a Sunday morning. But something we can actually do something about. Acts of faith. So Hebrews 12, moving along from the end of chapter 11, and the first three verses of chapter 12. Peter says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sin. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how He did it, because He never lost sight of where He was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He can put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now He's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself fighting your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long list of hostility He plowed through. That will shoot a adrenaline into your soul.
Yes. Amen.
And so, I think our call this morning is to accept what Jesus did as an example for us, and to say, Holy Spirit, we need an adrenaline shot into our soul. Because it is really easy to listen to the stuff going on around us, news and everything, and have an attitude of, what's the use? Because it's way bigger than we are, this thing's going to happen anyway, and really there's a thing we can do about it. So we can have that attitude, and then we're just like, yes, just put yourself off on the side there. We're tired of this anyway. You know, it'd be nice for vacation once in a while, wouldn't it? Not that anyone wants vacation. But we have that opportunity. We can say, you know what, this is way too hard. I'm just going to abandon this because this isn't worth it. Or we can see through the smoke and mirrors of the enemy. And we can say, you know what? God has always had a remnant. God is always going to do His thing. And when we look at all the things that have come against the people of God and the church over the centuries, in practically every century, there has been enough events to shut the whole thing down and make the Church of Jesus Christ disappear forever. It just seems like every time there's persecution, the church is destroyed. I remember this report, and I can't remember details, but when all the Christians were kicked out of China, and so for years there was no missionaries going into China. It was forbidden, no way could they do it, and they just got, you know, everyone was devastated because the church is dying in China. And so things go through everything. And this is being recorded, you know, no. But, you know, there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of believers in Jesus who just went underground. And the explosion of the underground church when it became illegal was crazy. And so when they finally were able to go back in and start discussing this, it wasn't just every once in a while they'd come across a group. Everywhere they went, they heard there was a group. Jewish people had not confidence to let them in on the secret. And so, you know, on and on and on throughout history, God has come through and he's kept the fire burning and he's reignited and he's brought us back again. We're in a day of enormous opportunity. I think with all the nutso quality of our technological explosion, the upside, the good side is we can communicate globally instantaneously by so many means. And not just words, but you know, I mean through Skype and all these things, I mean there's just so many ways. And mission has been radically transformed now because of all these things that are so immediately available. So this is really not a day to go, I think the church is on its last legs. I really think we're probably not going to make it, you know. I think what we can really say is what God has set in motion, he will complete it. That's what he's going to do. So we have Shira. And he said, you know, he talks about this. All these pioneers who blazed the way, all the veterans cheering us on. It means we've got to get on with it. And so I think all our spiritual heroes, all the people down through the centuries, we've all got spiritual heroes, people who are alive today, but maybe writers down through the centuries who we've read, they're just like, wow, that's so amazing. And sometimes the language is more complicated to read because either one in English originally or it was in a very old style of English. But we can read some of these devotional masters, these classic writers whose words just totally blow you away. How did they know this? How did they have that kind of relationship with God where they could do this? And, you know, and many, many times it was because of the persecution they went through. And they had nothing else that they could do. They weren't allowed to move about at all. And so they were just in God's presence. And God spoke to them powerfully to the point where they had to write it down. So he was with them, were surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. That's what the other version talks about. And so we just need to get on with it, strip down, start running, and never quit. And then we try to destroy Jesus, and he gives us the example. This is what you do. You start on the road, you have a goal, you keep going. Not to the left, not to the right, you keep on heading. You just keep getting the job done. So what we need to do is see, what is God asking us to do? Well, Jesus left us the message and told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel, make sure to pray for us. And so, that job's not done yet. After 2,000 years of the church, we still have many, many people groups who do not know the gospel. And not only in the remote areas of the world, of course, more and more as we transition from pre-Christian to post-Christian, many people around us every day have no idea who God is and no idea that he loves them and has a plan for their lives. And so all our countries are mission fields. I mean, France is a mission field. The UK is a mission field. Because Europe has abandoned and moved post-Christian long before we did. We're coming along in our footsteps. And so we need to understand that there's a shift in people's thinking. But the good news is, God is faithful to finish the work he began. And that's what he's going to do. So our call is to step up to the plate. And I think this is great for us on Memorial Day weekend. It's Communion Sunday. And as we come, you know, obviously Jesus is the hero of our faith. He's the one who gave us life. He's the one who brought us to this place where through his sacrifice, vicariously, now we can become the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus did it for us. And so as we remember, as we come to these elements, the broken bread, his broken body, the juice as symbol of his shed blood, as a tradition, as a way of reminding ourselves, bringing our hearts back to the reality that we have this life through Jesus. And it's not just ho-hum life. It's not just, oh well, whatever. And, you know, we move toward Jesus, we move toward his heart as he moves toward us. And we're reminded again, it's like, okay, 2,000 years of church history, how many people do we think have taken communion since Jesus called his disciples, do this regularly in remembrance of him. How many millions and millions of people have taken communion thousands and thousands of times? There are churches who take communion every Sunday as a remembrance. Now, it can be a ritual that you just forget what it's really about. It's just like Memorial Day, and you just a vacation day on a Monday in the month of May. But Jesus called us. And every time the Church of Jesus Christ celebrates what we call communion, some call Eucharist, we are coming back to the command he gave his disciples at the Last Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember, not just remember my name, remember what I did. Remember my example for you. This is what you're called to do. And so not only do we have heroes, and obviously Jesus is our hero, but then he doesn't leave us there. It's not like Jesus is wonderful, he's our hero, and it's so great, and our faith, we have a hero of our faith. And then he goes, stand up, because I'm calling you. We get the call. We're told here, we're told to go do it. Do like, go and do likewise. And so I think the excitement for us today, the excitement that is there is we have been called heroes. And he wants us to be heroes. And he wants us to join him in this great call. Not to give up, not to stop working, but to live our lives in such a way that we are always positioned with heart to say, well, you call me out, I'll be singing a song. And, you know, I think that's something that we can give ourselves to afresh. It's a thing of, there is a dynamic going on here. And God is not finished, not with the church globally, but not with the church individually either. And so that's us, the spotlight is turned on us, on the Holy Spirit watching us, watching for our reaction, watching what we'll do on May 25th, 2013 in this place. And so, this is an exciting time, and God is very much paying attention to what we decide to do. So as we come to this point, let's really be afresh, asking the Lord, what's your plan? How on earth are you ever going to use us as heroes? I mean, God has unique ways, has a great sense of humor, obviously, and, you know, he's very calm, and he's very serious about that. You know, that he wants us to be heroes as well, and carry on the tradition because there are those coming after us who need examples and need fresh heroes. And they're looking. They're watching. You see all the little munchkins that run around here? They're watching. They may not look like they're paying attention, but they're watching. And they need heroes. So, let's be heroes. Alright, let's prepare our hearts to come and take part of the communion. Father, as we prepare our hearts this morning to receive communion, could this not just be one more time? Could this not just be, oh yeah, he just bought some, give them up a bunch of communion. But could we come, as we come, could we recognize that we're coming to your heart? And as we come to your heart, could we understand what you've done and what you've made available to us? And it's not an accident. And there's a dynamic thing that is happening. And you've got some great adventures ahead of us. So we refuse to give up. We refuse to just throw in the towel. We say no to that. We say yes, Father. Whatever you choose to do, whatever you call us to, we will be faithful. We will be hopeful. And by your grace, we will be balanced in the world. Mm-hmm.